Hello, welcome back to another episode of In the Money. I'm Konstantin Vrondopoulou with Fidelity's Trading Strategy Desk. And with me, as always, Mr. Tony Zhang, Chief Strategist at Options Play. Tony, it's been a little while. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, KV. It's been a while, but really excited to be back here with you.
Let's talk about the fact that it's been a while. For me, that is. You're here every week. Last time I hosted this particular show was on the 28th of August, so a little over a month ago. So I wanted to talk about what transpired to the S&P 500, what happened with the S&P and the bond market since then. The S&P 500, with today's pullback of give or take 40 to 50 basis points, is up about 4% since then. The 10-year Treasury yield is down about 10 basis points. And I just want to point out that it is quite a handsome return to the upside in give or take a month worth of time. But equities were not impervious to pullbacks through the past 5 to 6 weeks. We've seen pullbacks, but they have been shallow and they've been very short-lived. I think the biggest one was about 2.25% of the downside, and being short-lived, none of them lasted more than 3 days to the downside. So again, kind of assessing the situation, wondering where your mind is currently. Let's focus on the macro thoughts first.
Yeah, I think those are some really fantastic observations because if you just look at the S&P 500 as a gauge, there seemingly still remains a fair amount of optimism around the current market. And I think a lot of that is being supported by the rate cutting cycle that has been embarked on since the last time we spoke. Some of that is also based on the domination of AI with regards to the technology sector, even though I think in the recent few weeks we've raised some serious concerns as to whether the industry is setting up for a bubble. There seems to be a fair amount of deals in the last just in the last few weeks that bring us to some of the parallels that we saw back in the 2000 dot-com boom. But the one thing that I think we have to be aware of is that if you look underneath the surface, there are some very clear signs that the US economy is slowing down, specifically around the labor market, and the government shutdown that we are now in week two is not particularly great because it takes away from important labor data. That is arguably the most important input into the Fed's calculus at this moment with regards to whether or not they're going to cut rates in October, in December, and going into next year. At the moment, the market is largely shrugging off the government shutdown in terms of a non-event. It's interesting to look at some of the prediction markets and how that's changing in expectations. Right now, it looks like the markets are predicting somewhere around 25 days worth of shutdowns and reopening towards the end of October, which is right before the next FOMC meeting. But overall, equities don't seem to be too particularly concerned, as you also noted that rates have fallen across the entire curve. That reflects, in my opinion, the softening of the labor market and the expectation the Fed will have to keep cutting interest rates to support what is a slowing economy. The S&P 500, has largely shrugged off this kind of slowing economy. It's still hovering just around those all-time highs. Positioning, although I will say, has turned significantly more defensive in nature. You have that support around 6,600 on the S&P 500, which if a break below that level, there isn't much support all the way down to the 6,200 level. That is something that is those are the important levels that I'm paying attention to here right now because market breadth is deteriorating. We're seeing small and mid caps underperform the large cap growth names. And I think this is something that investors have to be aware of underneath the hood because if you just look at the S&P 500, things look well, and things look like things are going to continue to move upwards and to the right. But underneath the hood, not everything looks that attractive. If you look at the VIX here, also, we're hovering just around that 17% level, which is something that we generally don't correlate with equities being at all-time highs. This is showing us that investors remain concerned about future volatility. Gold hitting a new high above $4,000 is also something that we typically don't see with equities at all-time highs, showing that the demand for safe haven assets in this type of market environment remains incredibly elevated. So these are some of the things that I think investors need to be aware of underneath the hood, especially if you look at kind of the sector performance here. Healthcare, utilities leading the markets higher, not something we typically see, even though technology is not far behind, while discretionary and communications lagging behind as some of the worst performing sectors. That's typically not what you see going into equity markets at all-time highs. It's not necessarily a bad thing because, you know, seeing some rotation is generally speaking a good and healthy environment for the markets to move continuously higher, but we'll have to see. But, you know, healthcare and utilities leading for 3-4 weeks in a row, being, you know, that the much more defensive nature that we're seeing, the positioning that right now is not something we typically see at all-time highs.
Yeah, Tony, lots and lots of things to be thinking about through the remainder of October. Again, just to kind of put all of those caveats in context, we have the Q3 earnings season really being kicked off by large market capitalization financials next week. We have the FOMC decision and the presser on October 29th, and we're awaiting the U.S. government funding bill based on prediction markets right now by the end of this month at all. So all sorts of things on the horizon that we need to be paying attention to and keeping our fingers on the pulse. You've highlighted a very specific potential support area for the S&P around 6,600. And I wanted to ask you if and when that key support area is going to be tested, maybe we can think of a strategy for some portfolio insurance as a hedge for audience members and be able to deploy it utilizing derivatives contracts like options. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so generally speaking, I'm not a fan of deploying hedging strategies tactically speaking, meaning I'm not in the market of trying to predict of when the next downturn is going to be. However, I do think the best strategy for options traders, if you want to remain invested in this type of market environment, is that as you see positioning get more defensive, as you get more concerned about downside risks, one of the things that you can do is start selling cover calls now. And what that basically does is it starts to collect a little bit of income in your portfolio by giving up away some upside potential, especially if you believe that the upside potential at this point is somewhat limited, both from a technical perspective and more so probably from a valuation perspective. Now would be the environment to start selling some cover calls, especially the VIX at 17%. You're going to get a little bit more premium right now from selling those call options. And if we do break below that 6,600 level on the S&P 500, because my next level of support to the downside is around 6,200, I would look at buying a 30-day put spread if we start breaking below some of those levels and the market starts turning lower, because a put spread will also allow you to reduce the amount of capital outlay to buy downside protection. And hopefully you can additionally offset some of that cost of that downside protection with the cover call that hopefully you can generate over the next few weeks.
Great thoughts, Tony. Good structure. We'll revisit it at some point in the future, I'm sure. Well, it's time for us to reveal your options trade idea. With that background kind of in mind, you mentioned that healthcare and utilities have been leading to the upside. It seems like you're evaluating something in the healthcare space.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Right now, the healthcare space is looking quite compelling, both from a valuation perspective, as you look at the healthcare sector overall trading at some of the lowest valuations we've seen in the last two decades, even though some of that has started to come up a little bit in the last couple of weeks. But we've also seen a significant amount of outperformance of the healthcare sector in the last 2 to 3 weeks. So this is really why I think healthcare is an important sector to be paying attention to here right now. And there are some great opportunities. And one that I think worth looking at here is Elevance Health. Now, they're the second largest health insurance company behind United Health, not a household name, but they used to be under the brand Anthem, and they've recently rebranded, and the stock has taken a huge beating here. If you look at the stock over the last couple of years, the stock has basically halved in value. But over the last few months, things have started to turn around here. This is a stock, if you look at the chart here, it broke below that $300 level earlier this year, and it finally broke out above that about a month and a half ago. And since then, it's been trading sideways just above that $300 level. In the last couple of weeks, the stock has really started to take off here, and that relative strength is what I typically like to see. And this is a stock outperforming both the sector and the S&P 500. So, when you see that type of relative strength, that suggests there's potential accumulation by institutions. And that's what I like to see in an environment like this. If you look at the stock itself, it trades at 11 times forward earnings, which is in line with the industry. But if you look at growth expectations, they are basically in line with the industry. Revenue growth, slightly above industry medians. Net margins, profitability metrics are actually slightly above industry metrics as well. So the fact that it trades basically in line with the industry is really where there is some upside potential from a valuation perspective. But really, you have to look at the business here. The stock has really struggled over the last couple of years because medical costs have been rising substantially, and that's been compressing margins. So the management team has been resetting kind of guidance for 2025, lowering guidance here for this year, and kind of clearing the decks for margin expansion into 2026. And they've been doing what I think is a good job at trying to manage the cost here this year so that they set themselves up for a better year for next year. And you know, the Clarilon business that they've been diversifying the business across has been showing some fantastic results. You're seeing nearly 50% revenue growth across that business line, and that's going to potentially offset some of the rising medical costs and contribute to that margin expansion hopefully we'll be able to see in 2026, not to mention the AI efficiencies that they've been trying to build into the overall business seemingly is starting to take hold and starting to show some meaningful progress in terms of reducing overall costs and operational expenses. So, you know, the business is clearly still operating relatively strongly. If you look at the amount of cash being returned to shareholders in the form of buybacks, that has remained in place despite the underperformance in the stock over the last couple of years. And just in terms of risks, there are still some downside risks. I think the medical costs is something that is of concern for investors as to whether they can keep those medical costs at a contained level so that they can get back to margin expansion. That is a big if as to whether or not they can contribute to that in 2026. So those are some of the things that you really that we need to look out for in addition to kind of the upside potential for Elevance. So I think the way to structure this is to use a call spread. And I'm using that because right now options are actually quite expensive. They are reporting earnings next month, and options are not particularly cheap. So I'm going out to the December expiration to buy myself a little bit more time. I'm looking at buying the 360-420 call spread. This way, by selling that 420 call option against the 360 call option that I'm buying, I can further reduce the cost of the option because options are quite expensive right now. And earlier today, you can pay about $20.50 for that vertical spread. And what that translates to is a total risk of $2,050 per contract while maintaining an upside potential of $3,950 if Elevance is above $420 at expiration. That gives me a nearly 2-to-1 risk to reward ratio if we see this stock continue to recover into the rest of this year, heading into next year with a lot of optimism and with the earnings announcement coming up before the expiration date, we'll get another read at kind of how management is navigating costs for 2025 and what guidance they might provide into 2026. And I'm looking at that potentially be a catalyst for this to rally into that low $400 range by the end of the year.
Yeah, Tony, very good. Couple of thoughts, of course, on trading ELV. options specifically. First, based on the preliminary announcements so far, looks like earnings are expected on the 21st of October, so just a couple of weeks here. You are going out to the December expiration, so plenty of time post the earnings announcement. Just wanted to mention that evaluating ELV options, looking at them this morning, I just recognized that they're quite large in market capitalization size, but the liquidity in the options market for ELV is maybe not as efficient as some of the other tickers our listeners might have been used to in previous terms. So to kind of put it in context, the 90-day daily average volume in ELV options is just over 4,000 contracts. So the suggestion and the thought would be, we want to be vigilant when we're placing trades. You're placing a multi-leg order, therefore you have to be putting in some sort of a limit. Instead of making it maybe a marketable limit, give it some thought. If you're not in a rush, try to place a price which you are willing to pay and see if the market makers and the marketplace, of course, is willing to interact with you directly. You can always move that order up since you're paying a debit post placing that order. But just being a little bit more vigilant, making sure that you remember that every penny to us as options traders means a dollar. So let's move on to the next thoughts. We are going into the earnings season. Financial companies are kicking it off next week. Any particular companies, Tony, that you're paying attention to the most?
Yeah, there's one name that really stands out that's reporting next week outside of the major banks, which is American Express. And the reason for that is because American Express trades at a premium valuation relative to its peers by a pretty significant margin. But it doesn't have any particular characteristics about this business that shows that it's outperforming or it's more profitable that would, in my opinion, justify the higher valuation that it's trading at. So if you combine the fact that the stock is effectively trading at a richer valuation without necessarily growing any faster or being more profitable than its peers, with the fact that the stock has underperformed since July of this year, and specifically it's weakened substantially relative to the market in the last couple of weeks going into earnings, that's showing those are some of the signs that I typically like to have to take a bearish stance going into an earnings announcement. So, heading into earnings next week, the name that I'm paying attention to most is going to be an American Express with a bearish view on earnings that I believe they report Thursday morning next week.
Very good, Tony. We'll look forward to that. And of course, I couldn't help but notice as I watched these programs, you've been really focusing on the healthcare sector. You're keeping your eye on it. You've suggested a few trades recently, those tickers being Gilead, ELV today, and of course, we have one to review on Merck. I'm curious what specifically keeps your interest and continues to interest you in this particular sector, and how are we making an adjustment to the Merck trade?
Yeah, so it really comes down to the fact that healthcare as a sector has really struggled for multiple years now, and there were some signs that struggle, if you will, of these sectors of starting to reverse, and we've actually seen that materialize here over the last few weeks to a pretty significant degree because healthcare has outperformed all other sectors head and shoulders for the last few weeks. On top of that, healthcare has been trading at some of the lowest valuations it's been trading at over the last couple of decades. So, from a fundamental perspective, it looks incredibly compelling from a valuation perspective. And then the technicals showed us that the timing is right because fundamentals, unfortunately, provides a terrible timing tool. The technical analysis tells us when potentially you might want to act on a stock that you believe is undervalued. And that's exactly what we started to see here in the last few weeks, is that the timing started to make sense for all these healthcare names that were undervalued, that were trading at what we consider compelling valuations. So it's a combination of the technicals, the outperformance relative to the market, and the underlying fundamentals.
Very good. And the adjustment on the MRK, the Merck trade, it looks like we're rolling up our spread. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we bought this was a few weeks ago. I laid out a bullish thesis here for Merck, and we bought the October 80 by 90 call spread. The stock recently rallied up to that $90 level. It's pulled back a little bit to that $87, $86 level, and it's now starting to move up a little bit. So we bought this call spread for $4.30. It's now trading at $6.70. Now, with less than 2 weeks left to go, I would like to extend out this trade to a further timeline, because the breakout here, into that $90 level confirms that my views on this particular stock is correct. But making a small profit on this particular trade, it gives me the opportunity to potentially try to hit a home run on this. So what I'm advocating to do is closing out the October 80 by 90 call spread. For earlier today, you can pay about you can collect about $6.70 for that, for the October call vertical. And I'm looking at to do is to basically roll this out to a December 85 by 95 call spread. Earlier today, you can pay about $4.15 for that debit spread. So basically buying another $10 debit spread, going out 2 months worth of time, and just recentering the trade based on the current prices of the stock, going up to that 85 by 95 strike from the 80 to 90 strike that we had in October. And what that does allows you to do is, when I roll the profits of the first trade into the second trade, the risk reward ratio on the second trade looks far more favorable. My total risk now gets reduced down to $175 per contract, with my maximum risk profit potential of $825 per contract if Merck is above $95 at the December expiration. So that's really kind of what I'm looking at here right now, is basically a compelling valuation remains compelling, and the timing is showing that it seems like there is some accumulation here of this particular stock on the recent news in terms of their drug pipeline. And we're looking for further continuation of that momentum into the end of the year.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. This brings us to a close. Tony covered a lot today, talked about macro, talked about technicals, talked about a brand new trade idea, and of course, a position adjustment as well. Thank you to all the viewers for tuning in each and every week. You can tune in to the In the Money show by registering for the upcoming episodes. Go on to Fidelity In the Money viewing page. You can also see the link for that particular page on the screen right now. We appreciate your flexibility as we implement this new viewing experience for everybody. Don't forget, Fidelity's Trading Strategy Desk does put on a follow-up show to this event. That is every Friday at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. You could find that by going to fidelity.com/InTheMoneyFollowUp. I'm excited because I will personally be hosting that session tomorrow. For all other things trading and investing at Fidelity Investments, subscribe to the Fidelity's Investors Newsletter, fidelity.com/ActiveInvestorWeekly. We'll see everybody back here with us next week for another episode of In the Money. Tony, thank you so much for showing up and providing us with great content.
Thank you so much, KV. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Options trading entails significant risk and is not appropriate for all investors. Certain complex option strategies carry additional risk. Before trading options, contact Fidelity Investments by calling 800-544-5115 to receive a copy of characteristics and risks of standardized options. Supporting documentation for any claims, if applicable, will be furnished upon request. There are additional costs associated with option strategies that call for multiple purchases and sales of options, such as spreads, straddles, and collars, as compared with a single option trade. Technical analysis focuses on market action, specifically volume and price. Technical analysis is only one approach to analyzing stocks. When considering which stocks to buy or sell, you should use the approach that you're most comfortable with. As with all of your investments, you must make your own determination as to whether an investment in any particular security or securities is right for you based on your investment objectives, risk tolerance, and financial situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Greeks are mathematical calculations used to determine the effect of various factors on options. Indexes are unmanaged. It is not possible to invest directly in an index. Views expressed are as of the date indicated, based on the information available at that time, and may change based on market or other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of Options Play, and not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. News, commentary, market data, and research reports are from third-party sources unaffiliated with Fidelity, unless otherwise noted, and are provided for informational purposes only. Fidelity does not endorse or adopt third-party content. Fidelity makes no guarantee that the information supplied is accurate, complete, or timely, and does not provide any warranties regarding results obtained from their use. Any screenshots, charts, or company trading symbols mentioned are provided for illustrative purposes only and should not be considered as an offer to sell, a solicitation of an offer to buy, or a recommendation for the security. Options Play and Fidelity Investments are independent entities and are not legally affiliated. The third-party trademarks appearing herein are the property of their respective owners. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC. Copyright 2024 FMR LLC. All rights reserved. 1109225.1.0. Information provided in the podcast is general in nature, is provided for informational purposes only, and should not be construed as investment or tax advice. Fidelity Investments disclaims any liability for any direct or incidental loss incurred by applying any of the information in this podcast. This podcast is intended for U.S. persons only and is not a solicitation for any Fidelity product or service. This podcast is provided for your personal non-commercial use and is the copyrighted work of FMR LLC. You may not reproduce this podcast in whole or in part in any form without the permission of FMR LLC.